Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And the weather today in Greenville, Spartanburg is 75, downtown 77, Anderson 73, Clemson 75. Today mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot, humid with highs in the upper 90s again. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 20%.
We do welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning. Glad you've joined us. Hope we can make your day a little brighter, make you think a little bit deeper, and help you in your Christian walk to transform the world. And even if you're not a Christian, of course, we hope that you'll become one. But beside that, we also hope that you'll continue to listen to Christian Worldview because it is the voice of freedom here in the upstate of South Carolina. Where else do you have Radio Free Greenville? What you have is a bunch of talking heads and neocons masquerading as so-called libertarians, masquerading as people who proffer the Christian worldview, masquerading as those who promote the truth, and yet what they do is twist and pervert the truth. They kowtow to the mainstream. They go along to get along. They are mealy-mouthed in order to save their own salaries and their own hides. Unfortunately, we find too many people in this predicament today. We are in, as in general, because of the mealy-mouthed leadership and mealy-mouthed thinkers that are on the airwaves, that are writing things in the media. Now, that wouldn't include the Times Examiner, and we want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. Hope that that you have an opportunity to get a subscription. The subscription rate has a special reprieve this week. I think it's only $20 a year up through Friday. So instead of $25 a year, you can save $5 off your annual subscription. Something that's cheap is becoming even cheaper for a few days, a subscription drive, apparently. And we hope that you'll get a chance to give a call and order your own subscription to the Times Examiner. It's 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, get a hold of this paper that supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. Normally $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state, until the end of July, at any rate. It's only $20 in-state and $22 out-of-state. Again, the phone number, 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner to promote your business and help this paper, you can call David directly. Ask for David by name, 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. I'm sure they'll appreciate the help. Well, here is Massachusetts debating birth certificates for babies of same-sex couples. Here's some other problems the state's causing there. Boston, Governor Mitt Romney says babies born to couples of the same sex should be given amended birth certificates, but supporters of gay marriage who want to change those certificates say the governor's formula for doing so is wrong. Now, some of you are out there scratching your heads, perhaps, thinking, how in the world can same-sex couples have babies? Well, obviously, the two male couples can't have a baby. They can adopt one, but then they won't need a birth certificate, right? So how in the world? Let's put two and two together here. I guess they must be referring to female couples. Now in case you weren't aware of this, two females are not able to produce a baby. This is something that we should be clear about. So what happens is there's some kind of promiscuity going on. I know this is probably shocking and surprising to folks, but something going on the outside, some kind of fornication or some kind of wickedness, as there must be, in order for this woman to become impregnated. And after she becomes impregnated, then she will have the baby. So the issue is, I think, simply for lesbian couples. I don't believe you can have two marriage partners who are male, so-called marriage partners, borrowing a female just to give birth to their baby kind of anonymously and not have anything to do with it. I think it has to be dealing with female couples, and it has to be dealing with them becoming inseminated by something or someone or somewhere, who knows, or all three of the above, and then giving birth. So this is in the news today, folks, believe it or not. This has something to do with reality in the United States of America in 2005. It says here, birth certificates are supposed to establish identity and parentage. In Massachusetts, the only state in the union where same-sex marriage is legal, gay rights advocates want the words mother and father removed from birth certificates and put in their place the terms parent A and parent B. There should be no doubt in Massachusetts that Massachusetts records should accurately reflect the true nature of Massachusetts families, and that includes same-sex couples, said Michelle Granda, staff attorney for Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. Romney has instructed hospitals to cross out the words mother or father and write in the phrase second parent. Well, duh. I mean, why are they crossing out the word mother or father? Everybody's got a mother. Okay, so the mother, I mean, she's, the mother goes to the hospital to have the baby, not the father. I mean, these people are that twisted. Why would they ever cross out the word mother? And there'll never be a case where there are two fathers here giving birth. I mean, it's just not going to happen, folks. Okay, so cross out the word father is what they really mean. They, instead of putting father, they're going to have mother and second parent, or parent A and parent B. I'm opposed to taking the Massachusetts birth certificate and removing the term mother and father and substituting parent A and parent B, Romney said. Look, each child has a mother and a father. They should have the right to have that mother and father known to them, and that's something I'd like to preserve on a birth certificate. Romney opposes same-sex marriage. Gay advocates say in his latest stand is discriminatory. There's no need for the governor to be stigmatized, the children born to same-sex couples, just because he does not personally approve of same-sex couples, Granda said. As Romney contemplates a run for president, the Republican governor from a liberal northeast state knows his position on birth certificates has to appeal to southern and midwestern conservatives. Still, Romney said he's voicing his conscience. My view is that it's wrong on paper and it's wrong in fact. Every child deserves to have a mother and a father, and birth certificates should reflect mothers and fathers, he said. Like the decision allowing gay marriage in Massachusetts, the description of the parent on birth certificates also appears to be destined for the court. Okay, I'm just going to leave aside for the moment why we have state-issued birth certificates anyway, which is nonsense. We should not have birth certificates issued by states. That's bizarre anyway. But be it as it may that we do have them, unless I'm confused here, somebody call up and clear up my confusion. This is not talking about putting two fathers' names on a birth certificate, because fathers don't give birth to babies. What they're talking about is that this is some lesbian fanatics out there doing the job saying, we don't want this word father on here because we just used a sperm donor. All we did is, you know, what's her name went over here and got impregnated with our baby. And what we want to do is we want to remove the father's name. We don't want anybody to know who the true father is, including the baby. We just want the baby to think that two mothers produced this, two women produced this baby. And we're going to put that name on the birth certificate, the significant other partner, so she doesn't feel left out of the equation. I mean, after all, she really is going to be the mother, too, and we're going to have a joint union or whatever this is, and we're going to produce this baby, and it has nothing to do with the sperm donor. Or maybe they went to one of those cryo, whatever they're called, genics or something like that, firms, and they just purchased the sperm to make sure that all this would work. That could be too. I mean, they're sort of kind of like the cattle insemination thing that goes on where you improve the herd, maybe. Maybe they participated in that, and therefore, but even then, I think they would know who the father is, the true father, the biological father. They want to cross him off of there. This is what this is all about. Lesbians not liking to feel like they have to be bound to a man or in any way have anything to do with a man, even though they hold their nose so that they can become mothers, because they can't become mothers by the two of them in any kind of union. This is just sick stuff, folks. Now, just clear it up for me. Tell me where I'm confused here. This is all about lesbians wanting to take the word father off a birth certificate, is it not? Tell me if I'm wrong. Give us a call at 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line, 864-201-6955, and this preposterous thing going on in the state of Massachusetts. Be glad to talk about it this morning. Birth certificates. Why do we have birth certificates anyway? Who needs to have the government's knowledge? Why do governments need to know that people were born? You know? Think about it. A lot of people don't question that. There's no reason we have to have governments know that we're born. Who cares? oh, if you can't get a passport or blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe so. So what? I mean, all you do is create yourself a document that gives them sort of a claim to your body, I suppose. Maybe as far as the modern feudal state, it makes some sense for them to know how many serfs are on the plantation at any given time. It used to be years ago they just had a hospital certificate of birth. They didn't use any state-issued birth certificate. I don't see why states should have anything to do with births. Maybe you do, but give us a call at 864-244-8177 if you want to discuss it. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad that you are. We'll be back in just a minute. Knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And this morning, we're just puzzled trying to figure out about how you can end up having a birth certificate with two mothers on it only, no father. At any rate, Chuck writes in an email and says, "What about artificial insemination?" And I just actually covered that. Probably before he could quickly type that off, I'd mentioned it and covered that issue. And I think it is true that they could use that. I mean, can you imagine the lesbian couple kind of cruising into one of these sperm banks, so to speak, and purchasing? But as far as I understand, somebody told me about the process here. There's a catalog that they go through. They have the characteristics of the father. As far as I understand it, they understand the father's name, what he does, you know, how smart he is, how good-looking he is, and all this kind of stuff. So you kind of like pick and choose your preferred kind of bull, so that you can get the best herd produced through your gene pool and so forth. Is the right word stud? I don't know anything about cattle ranching, but it's you'd have to use one of these terms when you get down to this animalistic sort of behavior that these lesbians engage in. You know, they have a baby drive, as all women do. They want to have their baby. So now they're using this alternative method to to go and purchase the correct father's genetic or material and be able to produce a baby. Now they want to scratch the name off of the birth certificate in Massachusetts. Now, two questions from the Christian worldview, of course, are should we have a birth certificate that's issued by the state? I see no reason why we would. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that the state would enter into this from a Christian point of view. From a state point of view, I can see them wanting to have a good record on how many serfs they have on the plantation. So it makes sense that they would have one from their point of view. But why would the state not want to issue the truth about who the father is? I mean, two women are not going to produce the man a child. So they you know, to completely eradicate who the true father is off the birth record seems to be just atrocious, to say the least. But what about the child? Would he like to know who his dad is someday? I mean, just because it's raised in a perverted home with messed up folks doesn't mean the kid's going to necessarily turn out that way. God is gracious. We've seen people who are raised in a perverted way ended up becoming Christians or becoming good members of societies. Oh, did you just imply that lesbians and homosexuals are not good members of society? Yeah, I did. You know why? Because they're twisted. You know why I said that? Because Romans chapter 1 tells me that they are the bottom of the sin chain. I mean, you can't get much lower than a homosexual as far as God's concerned. In Romans chapter 1, now, Romans chapter 1 has a list, maybe I was going to read it, but maybe we won't. It goes through different kinds of sins, and the last one to be mentioned is lesbianism. Because once you have such perversion of the mind that two women who have the natural drive to be mothers give that up in order to be lesbians, you've reached the bottom of the barrel. Now, you're going to say, oh, that's so unfair, Dr. Coben. How can you say that about homosexuals and about lesbians? Listen, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is able to save anybody. But you have to recognize, if you're in a situation or you have a friend who's a homosexual or a lesbian, that they are in perverted sin that is a vile abomination before God. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. It's not something that makes you just an all right as an alternative lifestyle. It doesn't matter what the public school told you about this. It's wrong. What you're doing is evil, or what that person you know is doing is evil. And you need to repent. You need to see that you're sick. That you need to see that your sin has defiled you, and the only chance you have is for salvation is to repent and believe in Jesus. That's the whole point here. I'm not saying that homosexuals can't be saved, or they're just so gross they can't be touched, or they need to be shot, or anything ridiculous like that. I'm saying that, let's call it what it is. Wicked, vile, abominable sin. Something that God hates. God detests you if you are a passionate homosexual that is in rebellion against God and will not change. You know why I know that God says that? Why that's true? What does Psalm 5:5 say? I'll just turn over there real quick. I know it's hard to accept some of these things, but hey, this is God's Word. And maybe somebody has a contention with God's Word, I don't know, perhaps. Psalm 5:5 says, "The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." God says in His Word that He hates someone who's a worker of iniquity. That doesn't mean He hates the sinner who repents. It means the person who persists in his sin, that is a worker of iniquity, that loves the iniquity so much more than God, and he will never repent. God hates that person. Now, if you want God against you, then, man, you've got a problem. Either you don't believe there is really a God, or you don't understand the power that God has. It's a terrible, terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews chapter 10 says. Fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when you flagrantly promote your homosexual agenda or your homosexuality, you're flying right in the face of God Almighty. And God have mercy on you, because it may be that you incur His wrath greatly. My, oh my, what a thought this morning. I probably stirred up the pot this morning, haven't I? If you're a homosexual activist, do give us a call and tell us the other side, please. We'd love to hear about it on Christian Worldview. As part of the Christian Worldview, homosexuality has no place other than to say that God can save homosexuals, you're not beyond the pale of salvation, and you can indeed turn to Jesus Christ in faith and be saved, and we hope that you will. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break. See you back here in just a couple minutes. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Let's also mention a couple news stories this morning. In Baghdad, a roadside bombing killed 4 American soldiers in the southwest Baghdad, the U.S. command said, and 16 Iraqi government workers died in a hail of gunfire as they left work on the western edge of the capital. More killing, more bloodshed. It's all we hear about from Iraq. Far more people have been killed after the so-called war, I guess it was a war, ended, or a so-called peace was declared, or whatever it is. We have a terrible situation there. So many people dying all the time. If that many people were dying in America, obviously the headlines would be all chaos is broken loose. And, well, George Bush's war against Iraq and Saddam has indeed caused chaos to break loose in Iraq. Terrible. It's a terrible thing that's going on over there. Just thought we'd keep you up to date on the latest tragedy. Here's another story that's interesting. Critical moments arrive in the free trade deal. Washington, the centerpiece of President Bush's foreign trade agenda, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, is likely to come for a vote in the House as likely as Wednesday, but the future of the free trade deal appears uncertain. Both Bush and Vice President Cheney are expected to visit Capitol Hill and push for the deal's passage. Bush will attempt to twist the arms of fellow Republicans who are now wavering in their support for CAFTA, an agreement signed by the administration and the governments of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and the Dominican Republic last year. Last month, the Senate approved the measure, but some House members are not convinced. Bush said he believes the agreement between the United States and the 6 Latin American nations will level the playing field when it comes to trading commodities like sugar and textiles. House Republican leaders agree. The issue is important to the American people. Let's face it, opening foreign markets is good for American workers and it's good for American business. And we all know that when business does well, jobs are created. House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Illinois, said at a news conference with Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez and representatives from the pro-CAFTA Hispanic groups. Well, CAFTA is a dangerous innovation. It is not about free trade. It's a very thick book of many, many pages of things that are regulatory of nature that would give us all sorts of kooky environmental rules that would subvert the United States Constitution, that would put us under foreign courts and under foreign controls. It would remove many of the rights and liberties apparently that we would have now as Americans and remove them to a higher authority. And it has nothing to do with free trade as traditionally understood, any more than gay has anything to do with happiness as traditionally understood. That's what the word used to mean, by the way, for those of you who are too young or have been to a public school. The word gay actually used to be a good word meaning happiness. You could say a person was a gay person, even in the 1950s, 50 years ago. And people would have understood something entirely different than what they understand today. Well, here we have free trade being hijacked. The word free trade simply means that people can trade between countries across political boundaries, because economics naturally knows nothing about political boundaries. And they can just trade and have no restrictions, no tariffs, no regulations, nothing. In fact, Walter Williams once said when commenting on NAFTA, the whole thing is about socialism and globalism and social control. They want to have free trade. Instead of having 1,600 pages to free it, they need one paragraph, one page to make trade free. Trade between these countries shall be free, and sign it. That's free trade. None of this other nonsense. And what would happen? Well, these are relatively small countries. If we did have truly free trade, would we damage the American textile industry? Perhaps. Perhaps we'd damage the American sugar industry, too, and all sorts of other things we're not very good at producing in the United States. And this is simple economics, folks. Just because, if we have no comparative advantage in producing a product like sugar, for instance, which is grown in tropical climates better than we can do it here, or producing, polar bears, if we were producing polar bears, we have no comparative advantage in doing that, although they have a good stock of polar bears in Alaska. I have to think of something we don't do real well. At any rate, besides sugar and some of the other things that can grow only in the tropical areas, why do we have to protect this sort of stuff? We end up paying so much more for our sugar and other raw materials just to protect an industry's inefficient production techniques. And it's not that the industry's bad or stupid, it's just that they have it in an area we don't need it. We can't grow it as effectively. So why do we have inefficient production in the United States? Well, the old theory was, we have to protect our national interest. Look what would happen if we didn't grow our own sugar or didn't have our own oil. We'd be held at the mercy of other nations. Folks, this is simply not true. This is a failed mercantilist nonsensical concept that's been held over from several hundred years ago. Remember Jeff Davis and one of his big blunders during the Confederacy? But we love the Confederacy, by the way. Don't misunderstand. But hey, we can talk about one of the failures of Jeff Davis here. That's Jefferson Davis. When they decided to burn up the cotton, instead of selling the Southerners cotton crop, which was a very valuable crop, they lit it all on fire. They collected it all in bales and burned it. Why? Because they were going to teach Europe a lesson. They weren't going to enter the war on the South side to help out the Southern cause, and they were going to punish Europe by not letting them have their cotton for the year. What do you suppose happened? They went to the Ukraine and other places and they bought cotton. Yeah, there was a temporary shortage of cotton out there because they were relying on it in Europe. But as soon as that happened, other entrepreneurs in the world rose up and said, we can produce it. If the South doesn't want to give us cotton anymore, that's no problem. We'll do it. Buy it from us instead. And they did. They went out and started producing cotton and sold it to the Europeans. Because one country is not willing to sell us their sugar, let's say we didn't produce it anymore, or textiles, doesn't mean that we wouldn't be able to buy it from another country. Another country has every incentive to not go along with the political quibbles of another nation that's opposed to us, and they're going to be willing to sell us the goods and services that we need. That's just economics, folks. It's just simple economics. It's a myth to think that we have to produce our own steel, we have to produce our own oil, we have to produce our own food and so forth. Economics does not know political boundaries. If the price is high enough and there's a demand for it, it's going to be supplied, period. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this very simple concept out. Nationalism, protectionism are follies of the left. So having said that much, CAFTA has nothing to do with freeing trade. CAFTA has hijacked the word free trade in order to create a socialized globalist zone that government, a multinational government can have control over our lives, and that's a terrible thing. We're talking about two different things here. That's coming up for a vote today. Make sure if you haven't written to Inglis or whoever your congressman is, write to him and tell him to vote against this. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville, and that is tonight at 8 o'clock, folks. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And you are listening to Christian Worldview, and we'll be back after this break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain. The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer.
He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now, the weather in Greenville, Spartanburg is 78, downtown 81, Anderson 77, Clemson 78. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot, humid with the highs in upper 90s, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain 20%.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Lots of interesting topics on the tap so far that we've just been discussing, including the removal of the father's name from birth certificates in Massachusetts because lesbian couples don't want the kids to know they really have a dad and a few other things. Also been talking our discussion today about homosexuality was tempered slightly by my plea that they might repent and be saved. But it's also made it very clear what the Christian worldview stance is on homosexual policies such as this. You may have a question or comment about these sorts of issues. Hope you call into the show and make your voice known. This is a station and a radio program committed to making Christians think, but also a lot of non-Christians who listen to us because it is the true voice of liberty in the upstate of South Carolina. We don't have liberty proclaimed anywhere on airwaves in South Carolina that I know of or in the whole region here. I'd love to know if there was someone else who was doing such a thing, but as far as we know, it doesn't exist. Well, here's Gonzalez talking about the court not being bound by Roe v. Wade. The legal right to abortion is settled for lower courts, but the Supreme Court is not obliged to follow the Roe v. Wade precedent, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said Tuesday as the Senate prepared to consider John Roberts' appointment that would put a new vote on the high court. So in other words, this is a cleverly veiled message. Look, you conservatives, don't worry about what he looks like on the outside and what he said in the past. All that really matters here is that he can, when he gets on the thing, you see, he can change all this. And what he's going to be is going to be our ace in the hole. He'll actually do something that's right and good once he gets on the Supreme Court. So support him and keep your fingers crossed and don't worry. Things will actually work out well for you in the end if you're truly a conservative who wants to have, or a libertarian for that matter, who wants to have freedom and wants to have the rights of the unborn children protected, the right to life protected. Yeah. We'll see. Like to see it be true, but don't count on it. We also have an email here about Iraq that came in. This is actually a little bit old. This is from an article written by Justin Raimondo. Iraq, what are we fighting for? Why are we in Iraq? According to George W. Bush and the 101st Fighting Keyboarders, we are battling for freedom. We're fighting for the love of liberty that supposedly burns in every heart. Right? I look at the Iraqi constitution, which is now in its draft form, makes it very clear that the only proper answer to that contention is an emphatic, no way, Jose. Let's start with Article 1, which defines who is eligible to become a citizen of Iraq. Any individual with another nationality except for Israel may obtain Iraqi nationality after a good residency inside the borders of Iraq of not less than 10 years for Arab or 20 years for any other nationality. An Iraqi may have more than one nationality so long as the nationality is not Israeli. Ah, yes, Iraq, the model. What is the model of? Nazism? Speaking of which, there's an ominous phrase from Article 5. The Iraqi people are one people unified by belief in the unity of the homeland and culture. Anything that exposes this unity to danger is forbidden. Uh-oh, does that sound familiar? Raimondo says. Here's a hint for you all, history buffs out there. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer, Führer. Ein Führer. I can't speak German. Article 5 is... you already knew that, didn't you? Yes. Article 5 is awash in bromides about equality and human dignity, but when it gets right down to brass tacks, the state is all. The state shall take responsibility, it says, for combating moral and behavioral depravity and encourage people and agencies to spread virtue, providing it help and support. The state shall ensure harmony between duties of woman toward her family and her work in the society, and equality with men in the fields of political, social, and economic life, without conflicting with or disturbing the provisions of the Islamic Sharia. Here we are taught the Bushes just wanted to spread democracy, loosely defined, but now we've got the U.S. guns behind an effort to spread virtue. No wonder Jerry Falwell and the Christian fundamentalists are standing four square behind the war effort. But what's the guy going to do on the pro-war bandwagon? Now, wait a minute, Raimondo. As much as we might say the religious right, like Jerry Falwell and Christian fundamentalists, want to spread their morality to some extent, not entirely, but on a few things at any rate, they are not going to be behind spreading Islam and its morality. We should make that real clear here. They're not behind this because of this. They're behind it because they're ignorant. They're Christians who don't know what's really going on behind the scenes or even right under their noses. They want to believe that George W. Bush is doing something good for them. They're really trying hard to do what's right, and I think that they're well-intentioned. A lot of Christians are just being duped. We aren't just fighting terrorism in Iraq, no siree, on account of our efforts and our dime. And on our dime, government of liberated Iraq is taking on a moral and behavioral depravity, although that's why this campaign seems to extend to Baghdad, but not, say, Manhattan, Soho District, or even Washington, D.C., as one of these mysteries we may never solve. There's nothing mysterious, however, about the politics of the authors of this Constitution. National socialism, with an Islamic veneer, is the public guiding principle animating the founders of the new Iraqi state. The socialist element infuses Article 5. The state shall guarantee the realization of the social guarantee necessary for citizens in case of old age, disease, inability to work, or if they are homeless, orphans, widowed, unemployed. It shall provide them with social insurance services and health care and protect them from the talons of ignorance, fear, and want, providing them with housing and special programs to train them and care for them. A law shall be issued regarding this. Oh my, can you believe this stuff, folks? This is pure communism right in the Iraqi constitution that George W. Bush has been promoting. We're going to come back and talk about this issue. This is important stuff at Christian Worldview when we return from this break. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
We want to remind you folks to go to tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com is an important website, folks, because that's the Tyranny Response Network's website. I also want to recommend you go to policyofliberty.net. That's my homepage. You'll find all sorts of information that I, things that I write, quotations for liberty, information and things about writings of famous free market economists, and much more at policyofliberty.net, including all of my current books. You can buy them there at the policyofliberty.net website. But tyrannyresponse.com is the Tyranny Response Network's website, and you'll find there great stuff. All the announcements that you hear on the Christian Worldview Show are there for you to see. If you are driving along, you can't remember to write down the name of the or the phone number for the Times Examiner, or you just can't do it because you're driving. Well, look, just go to, all you have to remember is tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. They both go to the same place, and you'll be able to sign petitions. You'll be able to read the links and the announcements there. Of course, this week we have a number of things going on in the ups country here. Tonight we have, we've already had the Americans for Constitutional Government. Tonight we have the Libertarian Meetup, which is at 8 o'clock at Cafe Underground. Tomorrow night, the Greenville County Taxpayers at 7 o'clock at the downtown Greenville Library. Hope you can attend these things. I also want to remind you that Rippin' Richie, who's the author of the webpage, has his own radio show now, along with Bob Llewellyn in the afternoon. It's called The Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. It's been a great opportunity to listen to those two folks for your afternoon drive back from work, so you can keep TRN both going on, both going to work and coming back. The Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse is a different format entirely than what you have at Christian Worldview, but nevertheless, it's great stuff. Hope you can tune into the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse this afternoon from 4:30 to 6 p.m. as you make your way back home from work. One other thing to mention here on the website, the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. There's a link there under our related media section on the tyrannyresponse.com website or .net website. If you go down to towards the bottom, you'll find a number of petitions that you can sign. Hope you sign them all, but specifically, go and join the 280 other folks who have signed the petition to protect their fundamental rights. Just takes you 30 seconds, and it's well worth doing because it shows not only your support of liberty, but it might even give us a leg up in talking to the media and in even talking to folks in Colombia about our concern about maintaining the fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property, and not having them compromised just because some Supreme Court buffoons vote for it in a decision like Kelo versus the City of New London. So please go visit the tyrannyresponse.net website, find the petition for South Carolina Fundamental Rights, and take a moment to sign the petition. One other thing. We are looking for volunteers here at the Tyranny Response Network to do all sorts of things. Help produce radio shows, to do some manual labor and setting up different kinds of transmission equipment. All sorts of stuff is necessary, and we would appreciate your help. If you've got 5 hours on a weekend, you can donate once a month or maybe every weekend or even more. We would be, and sometimes during the weekdays as well. We have different needs here. If you're able to help, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website or .net website. Click the contact link at the top, and you'll see there different names appear where you can email folks, Mark, Chuck, Brad, Richie. Email all those folks directly and just let them know that you're interested in helping out with the Tyranny Response Network and its great quest to promote the truth and liberty in the upstate. We could really use your help at this time. We're looking for volunteers, people who can donate. Pay's not great, but I'll tell you what, the satisfaction that comes from knowing you're helping promote liberty is a wonderful thing, and we would encourage you to participate with us. We've been talking about Iraq here and the Iraqi Constitution. I want to go back and talk about a few other things here. Justin Raimondo bringing this up. He says, "Iraqi citizens have the right to enjoy, according to Article 7, security and free health care. The Iraqi federal government or the regional governments must provide it and expand the fields of prevention, treatment, and medication by the construction of various hospitals and health institutions. I guess the Iraqi founders can afford to be generous. After all, you're paying for it. Yeah, that's you, the American taxpayer. You may be unemployed, widowed, orphaned, and eventually driven to homelessness by confiscatory taxation just in the sheer cruelty of having to keep pace with the rat race. But please rest assured that none of these terrible fates will be suffered by the Iraqis. You may be without health care, but no Iraqi will go without. That's what it means to be liberated these days. If you don't wind up as collateral damage, you get to spend other people's money and the sky's the limit. Sweet. Another key tenet of National Socialism, government control of the media, as institutionalized in Article 6, buried amid a plethora of democratic-sounding buzzwords, freedom of culture, freedom of opinion, and freedom of publishing. Is the money quote? There's no censorship of newspapers, printing, publishing, advertising, or media, except by law. Translation, they're already putting the nameplates on the doors of the office of the chief censor. To read this document is to wander through a mental landscape of utter strangeness, a sensibility so alien that the Western mind can hardly conceive of its meaning, let alone imagine life under its strictures. It is a constitution straight from bizarro world, where every familiar principle of individual rights and legal protections is stood on its head. The right to travel both within and out of the country, supposedly granted by Article 9, is circumscribed by the same sort of exculpatory phrase that proves the way for censorship. It is guaranteed, except in all cases defined by law. All citizens are entitled to the right to protection against intellectual, political, sectarian, religious, or national coercion, according to Article 10, but only so long as the protection is by law. In other words, only until we feel like cracking down, whereupon we will do so ruthlessly. And it goes on and on. We've read a lot of this stuff earlier, folks, in the Iraqi Bill of Rights that was proposed. The Iraqi Bill of Rights is another socialist document full of all sorts of Marxian claptrap and nonsense about social justice, so-called social justice, socialized medicine, public education, guaranteed employment, welfare, the abridgment of personal liberties and rights, housing rights, feminism, gun restrictions, supports for science and the arts, supports for common ownership of the natural resources of the country, and state promotion of virtue and morals. So glad I'm not there having the state promote its virtues and morals or Islam on me. It is a sad state of affairs, folks. It is democracy redefined to mean one world, global, socialist, Marxian, environmental nonsense. That's what you got in Iraq, folks. And I appreciate Raimondo writing this and pointing this out to us. You know, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we go to this break, we're going to play this break. We're going to take a long break right now. We're going to play the Bill of Rights here because I want you to hear and be familiar. We play this almost every day now. I want you to know about the Bill of Rights, and I want you to think about what our Bill of Rights are compared to what the Iraqis have to face now under their socialist dictatorship that's about to be set up by George Bush and his friends over there. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We want to do a little bit of economics here on Christian Worldview and some things to do with public policy. Here's Don Baudreau, who is the professor at George Mason University, used to be the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Some civics lessons for my son, he says. My son, Thomas Macaulay Baudreau, is 7 years old. He's the most precious creature in the world to me. My wife, Carol, and I will never indoctrinate him, but we do and will teach him the best we can. Here is a list of some of the lessons he'll get from me as he grows into manhood. Even in principle, government is not synonymous with society. In practice, government is an enemy of civil society. Even popularly elected government does not, in any meaningful sense, represent these interests or those of civil society. No one can or will represent his interests as well as he personally can and will do so once he's an adult. People who seek political power are, with exceptions too rare to matter, never to be trusted. At best, people are vain and officious busybodies. People who actually achieve political power are to be trusted even less than those who seek it without success. Winning elections requires measures of deceitfulness and Machiavellian immorality that no decent person comes close to possessing. He owes no allegiance to any government that claims monopoly over his allegiance. He should politely refuse. In fact, government is not the habit of asking for anything. Instead, government correctly demands. So, if and when government demands that he soldier for it, he should refuse to do so. He should go to Canada, become a Quaker, fake an obsession with homo necrophilia. That is, he should do whatever he must to prevent brutes in suits from forcing him to risk his life for their cause. Above all, he should be forever skeptical of received wisdoms and truths, but always understand that there is much genuine wisdom and many valuable truths in our world. Skepticism is indispensable for sorting these relatively few gems from the pack of imposters. And I appreciate Don Boudreau's advice there. I think he's quite accurate. Of course, we had a long, slow show yesterday on the slavery issue, that is the draft conscription. I believe, as many others do, that the draft is abominable. It's registering for the draft is a horrid thing where we end up in becoming enslaved to the state. The state takes our labor by force under the guise of wanting to protect us, and instead puts us in harm's way that we might go and fight its insane, proactive, and aggressive wars around the world. Absolutely horrible thing that would be inflicted upon Americans, and yet it is indeed what we face here. It's our reality in the United States. Love to hear from you today. If you want to give a call to the show, remember our backup line, 864-201-6955, or the main line, 864-244-8177. Do give us a call to talk about some of these interesting topics of the day. So many other things coming up about people like Roberts. The evangelicals are saying he's fabulous, wonderful. People getting all behind him, James Dobson and so forth. Everybody has wonderful admiration for the man. Then you have the other side, like Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party, just saying, no way, this guy's a snake. Ann Coulter also did. We read her comments on the show, and we find that there's a lot of dissent about Roberts. I'm of the opinion that nothing good can come out of George W. Bush, or at least it's going to be a rare thing, and I'm not convinced that this is going to be one of the rare things that actually pops up from George Bush. I'm expecting another suitor, another sellout, someone to be on the court for the next 40 years to rule us and tear us down and to cause us to go even plunge further into the depths of misery, socialism, and immorality. That's my prediction, dire as it may be, folks, but I see no other way to call it like it is. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Right now in the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport at 79, downtown 81, Anderson 77, Clemson 78. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot, humid with highs in the upper 90s. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 20%.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The news flash from Brad Edmonds is out. Brad Edmonds wrote his little book called There's a Government in Your Soup. And he had a little article he wrote says, news flash, the military doesn't protect our freedom. Everywhere in our town, particularly around the holidays, banners proclaim freedom isn't free. Think the military. I beg to differ. Freedom is free, and the military is not the one of the elements threatening our freedom in the United States, but was never intended to protect our freedom in the first place. Our framers decided that the natural right each individual to own weapons and to form a militia with his neighbors was the guarantor of freedom. Further, there's no provision in the Constitution for a permanent standing army. To the contrary, the framers considered a standing army a constant threat to liberty. Why? First, a standing army requires support via taxation. That's a problem, isn't it? If you start with a standing army replete with high-ranking officers anxious to further their careers, add a presidential administration, a few hundred congressmen eager for a block support, campaign contributions, and cushy jobs after leaving office, then add a few dozen large corporations armed with lobbyists and poised to make huge profits from war, and you get wars. No surprise. Note that children of congressmen, military officers, and corporate executives are rarely killed in those wars. Taxes raised during war are generally not lowered afterward. Remember that the practice of withholding income tax from your paycheck was instituted as a temporary measure during World War II. Where in all of this is the military protecting our freedom? U.S. military forces have not successfully defended Americans against attacks since the War of 1812, which itself was brought on in part by Jefferson's idiotic embargo against the U.K. What can the U.S. military do to protect our freedom in the future? Nothing. Japan had no desire to invade the mainland U.S. They knew individuals could defend themselves. As a rifle behind every blade of grass, to conquer you must occupy, which means you have a people on foot who are an obedient populace. Hence, freedom from invasion is assured by an armed and ready population, not by a military, especially not by one expending most of its resources on foreign countries. At the time of our founding, the sole role of the military, such as there was to defend our border. Since then, the military has been used primarily as an enforcement arm of the foreign policy goals of the White House and Congress. The biggest threat to our freedom isn't foreign invasion anyway. The biggest threat is Washington itself. Amen. The presidential administration, Congress, and the Supreme Court. We have lost privacy and civil liberties precipitously since 9/11, and our military can do nothing to stop that. The military forces never were intended to protect us from our own government, nor have they ever been in any nation. We saw this in the civil rights upheavals of the 1960s, Kent State, and in Waco, and worst in 1861. That was during the War of Northern Aggression, by the way. What can we do then to recapture our freedom? Take responsibility for it, says Brad Edmonds. Own a high-powered rifle. and know how to use it safely and responsibly. Educate yourself and your friends about the dangers of forcible government. Make yourself as financially independent of the government as possible. Save, invest, buy gold, own land, but not necessarily houses. Urge your representatives at all levels of government to vote against every new law that arises and to erase laws that are on the books now. Freedom really is free without forcible government in the way. Entrepreneurs would provide any military defense required at far lower cost than the government provides now, and without the risk of constantly killing innocents around the world, and without the risk that the military could turn against you. Freedom is free, and the government's military does more to threaten it than to protect it. Don't be fooled by obnoxious road signs. Wow, that's a great article. Appreciate Brad Edmonds saying that, and I understand his twist on freedom not being being free. It's a good point that he's making. It's a great opportunity to serve our nation by thinking about the principles of liberty and what our founders actually intended, and not get caught up in the whole establishment idea, or the whole idea, should I say establishment, sounds like a 60s hippie, the whole idea promoted today by Bush's foreign policy that we need to go out and use our military around the world to conquer and create an empire. Just before the break, a quick note. Uncommon Dissent Forum. Scientists who find Darwinism unconvincing. You're invited to hear the leading scientists present the latest evidence regarding Darwin's speculations August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Palmetto Expo Center in Greenville, South Carolina. The lecturers include the following PhDs: Michael Behe, John Campbell, Jonathan Wells, and Thomas Woodwards. Early registration is $125. If a teacher or student, $95. After June 4th, I guess there's no longer early registration. $145. Or if a teacher or student, $115. Space is limited. For more information or to register, visit PiedmontTravel.com or call 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. If you missed any of this information, go to TyrannyResponse.com, TyrannyResponse.net, and you'll find the information you need there. To get any of the details you've missed while you were driving along in your car. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Representative Ron Paul, M.D., wrote on suicide terrorism before the U.S. House of Representatives the following, made this following speech, which is recorded for us. Mr. Speaker, more than half of the American people now believe the Iraqi war has made the U.S. less safe. This is a dramatic shift in sentiment from over 2 years ago. Early support for the war reflected hope for a safer America. It was thought to be an appropriate response to 9/11 attacks. The argument, the enemy attacked us because of our freedom, our prosperity, and our way of life. It was further argued it was important to engage the potential terrorists over there rather than here. Many bought this argument and supported the war. That is now changing. I, like many, have assumed that the driving force behind the suicide attacks was Islamic fundamentalism. Promise of instant entry into paradise as a reward for killing infidels seemed to explain the suicide, a concept that is foreign to our way of thinking. The world's expert on suicide terrorism has convinced me to rethink this simplistic vision. He's reading a book called Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism by Robert A. Pape. He's also the author of Dying to Win, Explains the Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. Pape has collected the database of every suicide terror attack between 1980 and 2004, all 462 of them. His conclusions are enlightening and crucial to our understanding of the true motivation behind the attacks against Western nations and Islamic terrorists. In his exhaustive study, Pape comes to some very important conclusions. Religious beliefs are less important than supposed. For instance, the Tamil Tigers in Sri Lanka, a Marxist secular group, are the world's leader in suicide terrorism. The largest Islamic fundamentalist countries have not been responsible for any suicide attack. None have ever come from Iran or the Sudan. Until the U.S. invasion of Iraq, Iraq never had a suicide attack in all of its history. The clincher is this: the strongest motivation, according to Pape, is not religion, but rather desire to compel modern democracies to withdraw their military forces from the territory the terrorists view as their homeland. The best news is that if stopping suicide terrorism is a goal we seek, a solution is available to us. Cease the occupation of foreign lands, and the suicide missions will cease. The reason the attacks stop, according to Pape, is that the Osama bin Ladens of the world no longer can inspire potential suicide terrorists, despite their continued fanatical religious beliefs. The Pape is convinced that after his extensive research, and the longer and more extensive the occupation of Muslim territories, the greater the chance of more 9/11 type attacks on the U.S. He's convinced that the terrorists strategically are holding off hitting the U.S. at present time in an effort to break up the coalition by hitting our European allies. Interesting thought, and it makes some sense that people would be doing so for those particular reasons. Well, we have a number of other another number of other interesting stories to go through today. I had some quotes here that people had mentioned. I thought our research staff had sent us up some really interesting things here. Let me see if I can find this one about Muggeridge. Here it is. This is Malcolm Muggeridge Society. He witnessed the Ukrainian famine and was the first Western reporter to write truthfully about the resultant death and devastation. This sojourn in the Soviet Union ended Muggeridge's infatuation with communism as a panacea, that's a cure-all, for the ills of the world. So Muggeridge, just by visiting the communist land, realized that communism is no good. Here's another quote. This is from Hermann Göring, and he says, "Of course people don't want war, but after all, it's the leaders of a country who determine the policy, and it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought into the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to greater danger." Hermann Göring at the Nuremberg trials is what he said. The words attributed to Hermann Göring are real. Göring was one of the highest-ranking Nazis who survived to be captured and put on trial for war crimes in the city of Nuremberg by the Allies after the end of the war, of World War II. He was found guilty on charges of war crimes, crimes against peace, and crimes against humanity by the Nuremberg Tribunal and sentenced to death by hanging. The sentence could not be carried out, however, because Göring committed suicide with smuggled cyanide capsules hours before his execution, scheduled for October 15, 1946. Interesting. She gave her life for her country. Troops, the anniversary of death and great Americans went largely unmarked for yet another year, a death which should be shrouded in the pomp and national holiday and thanks and remembrance. During either the extreme late hours of 7/17/69 or the very early hours of 7/18/69, the exact date and time clouded by the booze and ambition, clouded memory of the only witness to the event, Mary Jo Kopechne died a very cold, watery death. Without knowing, Mrs. Kopechne served a noble cause and gave her young life so that Ted Kennedy might never be president of the United States. We who are calmed daily by the result of her death salute her unknowing sacrifice. And put that in my mailbox. Okay, that's all right. It's not bad to say those sorts of things. They sort of stir things up a little bit, don't they? Appreciate that comment. The research staff does such a great job, and we do appreciate all of their efforts. And we've had some good articles by the stuff they sent up, especially that Brad Edmonds article. I really liked that this morning. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump to our final break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's another article by Representative Ron Paul, M.D. The Republican Congress wastes billions overseas. Mr. Speaker, I raise strong opposition to this foreign relations authorization bill. Something has gone terribly wrong with our foreign policy, and we feel we must take almost $21 billion out of the pockets of the American taxpayer and ship it overseas. Yes, he's right. What's wrong with the bill? Let me just mention a few things, the most egregious items. In the name of promoting religious liberty and fighting anti-Semitism, this bill will funnel millions of dollars to the corrupt Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe and its Office of Democratic Institutions and Human Rights. This unaccountable international organization is at the forefront of the manipulation and meddling of the internal affairs of other sovereign states and has repeatedly dishonored itself through politically biased monitoring of foreign elections. So he mentions that and a few other things here. Let me skip down a little ways. Mr. Speaker, this is a shameful day for the U.S. Congress. We are taking billions out of the pockets of Americans and sending the money overseas in a violation of the Constitution. Isn't it great to have Ron Paul up there? I mean, they probably just ignore him. I mean, what are these other senators and congressmen? I'm sure that senators wouldn't come over and see him for anything, but the congressmen must just empty out. There may be a few in there that listened out of courtesy, perhaps. But why would they care less about what Ron Paul thinks? They're about to plunge us under CAFTA and a number of these other things, these legislations that will completely undermine American sovereignty and the American way of life. The only legitimate reasons for war, Michael Gaddy, writing on the LouRockwell.com site, It is well that war is so terrible, we should grow too fond of it, said Robert E. Lee. Throughout history, those who have the tendency to grow too fond of war, in most cases, have never fought one. Soldiers who have seen the elephant are impacted by the horror of it for life. Many who are unable to cope with the recurring thoughts and visions resort to escape mechanisms, alcohol, drugs, and in extreme cases, suicide. One soldier that I knew, a Vietnam vet, literally ate himself to death. Youch. I visited him in the hospital shortly before his death. He was forced to sleep sitting up because when he reclined, the fat compressed against his lungs and made breathing impossible. He had been forced to endure a high court-martial during Vietnam for shooting a turncoat Chu Hoi for leading his unit into an ambush where several soldiers of his civilian regular defense group were killed. A close friend tells a story of asking his dad, World War I vet, what the term over the top meant when he was just a young boy. He relates his father got up from the table, went to the porch and retched. His mother told him never to mention that again. There is a great meaning to be found in the term. No one loves peace like a soldier. Just war. What in heaven's name could be just about killing people you don't even know because some lying politician needs to improve the bottom line of the corporate cronies and campaign contributions? That's a great question. War should be initiated for defense of our country and liberty only. There's no one alive in this country to read these words that fought in a war that was not in some way predicated by political lies and deceptions. There is no one who fought in any of this country's war in the last 60 years that fought in a constitutional war. You know the Constitution, soldiers swear to uphold and defend. Could the Democrat, a domestic enemy we swore to defend in our country and Constitution from politicians, be from our politicians who ignore the Constitution and lead us into illegal wars? Who is a greater threat to liberty, out-of-control politicians or terrorists created by the same politicians and their insane foreign policy that makes billionaires of their cronies? Who passed and confirmed the Patriot Act? Does Osama bin Laden care what library books you read, who you talk to on the phone, whether or not you own a gun or how many rounds of your gun's magazine holds? What does it take to get an American to die for lies, words from a politician with no integrity, a few colored ribbons, a quest for glory, or a John Philip Sousa march? Even former commandant from the Marine Corps, Major General Smedley D. Butler, said in his 33 military career he never had an original thought. There are only two things we should fight for. One is the defense of our homes, and the other is the Bill of Rights. War or any other reason is simply a racket. The trouble with America is that when the dollar only earns 6% over here, then it gets restless and goes overseas to get 100%. The flag flows from the dollar, and the soldiers follow the flag, Major General Smedley Butler. In my humble opinion, the last just war in this country was one that ended in Appomattox in Virginia in 1865. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson, May 1861. Smedley Butler, Stonewall Jackson, and Robert E. Lee were correct. War should be so terrible it should never be considered except as retaliation for an invasion or an attack on liberty. When an invasion of our homes or firesides or an attack on liberty to occur, there should be no quarter given to those invaders and usurpers. Death and total annihilation should be to those who would violate the sanctity of home and attack our liberties. The terrible truth is the invader that Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee had to war with from 1861 to 1865 is the same invader that people in Iraq and Afghanistan are warring with today, and the same invader that American Indians fought to protect their homes and properties from during the end and after the war between the states. The attacks on our liberties are not coming from Al-Qaeda or terrorists. They're coming from our elected leaders and their money-grabbing, freedom-destroying death machine. I have to say I couldn't agree more, Michael Gaddy. Great article this morning. Glad that the research staff found that. Here's The Other War by Michael Goza. We're not going to have time to read all of these, I know, but the research staff pile is piling high in my box here, and I thought I'd get through a few of these. Michael Goza says, I watched to much dismay and anger as the House yielded to make permanent the police state provisions of the misnamed Patriot Act. There's nothing about this act that's patriotic. A more appropriate name would be the KGB or Gestapo Act. I'm personally fed up with watching over and over my representatives pass legislation to supposedly make me safe. Provisions which take away our rights and liberties here at home. Provisions that contain warrantless searches, the ability to arrest you or I without charges, without right to counsel, and to hold you in secret indefinitely. And he goes on to list, as we've done so many times before, the evils of the Patriot Act. Constitution Party Chairman for Tennessee, Michael Goza, appreciate very much his comments there. They are truly well received here at the Tyranny Response Network. And finally, we also have Representative Ron Paul talking about the Police State Act, a report, similar vein. It's the Patriot Act. If the Patriot Act is a constitutional and badly needed, as proponents swear, why must we sunset its provisions included at all? If it's unconstitutional and pernicious, why not abolish it immediately, he says. He then stated that he opposed the 10-year reauthorization of the bill on the grounds that Americans should not have their constitutional rights put up for a decade. That's a Democratic proponent. In other words, they can act without any constitutional restrictions, Ron Paul says a little later on here, just as supporters of the Patriot Act want our own police state to act. The London bombings don't prove the need for the Patriot Act. They prove the folly of it. The Patriot Act, like every political issue, boils down to a simple choice. Should we expand government power or reduce it? And he's, of course, saying we need to reduce it. Appreciate Ron Paul there. And that's a good way to end the show. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did, and we look forward to another great show tomorrow right here on the Tyranny Response Network. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.